All right. That's Velvet Underground performing I'm Waiting for My Man, for the man. Lou Reed of the Velvet Underground died on this day 1 year ago. Well, it's time for our roundtable. We want you to join us here at 410-319-8888. Email your thoughts to talk@steinershow.org. Tweet us at Mark Steiner. Comment on the Mark Steiner Show Facebook page. We are joined once again by the independent veteran investigative journalist Melody Simmons, who is in the studio.
Hi.
And also now reporter for the Baltimore Brew, among other things. Dr. Matthew Crenson, who has been a guest in the show since the early 1990s, is back with us again, professor emeritus in the Department of Political Science at Johns Hopkins University.
Thank you.
Dr. Antonio Campbell's in the studio, professor of political science at Towson University, former chairman of the Baltimore County Republican Central Committee, ran for county executive in the primary, and his race, which was intense, shows you that every vote counts.
20 votes.
Mark. Unbelievable, 20 man. Votes. Unbelievable. 410-319-8888 is the number here to join in this conversation. So let's talk. We were joking before we were listening to the end of the conversation. We did want him to come in live. We couldn't get him live. We're talking to Republican candidate Al Hogan about coming in this week so we can get him on before Election Day as well. And they're seeing if their bus will come through Baltimore again. If it does, they'll stop by. that's what they told us. There's an interesting race for governor. Let's see what people think at 410-319-8888. You hear all these different reports. Well, it's very close. It's not very close. It's 68 points. It's 1 point. This is a politics question. But what do we know about the reality of this? What do you think, Matt?
I think the closest of the outcome depends on turnout. And the polls have shown that Brown is between 7 and 9 points ahead. But if he can't get his supporters to come out, then it could be a lot closer that he could lose. My perception is that a lot of people are disgusted and dispirited by this whole election campaign. And it doesn't seem to have whipped up very much interest among grassroots voters.
Do you feel that, Melody?
I think turnout is key. Turnout is the key. That's why we're seeing Hillary Clinton come this week, and we saw the president come last week, because they're trying to energize the base to turn out. And you see signs all over the city of Baltimore, vote for the Democrats. So this is a kind of an indication about where the push, the final push, is coming from.
How do you see this? In your best nonpartisan hat.
My best ball?
Matt,
as I'm sure you know, what we try to do in the classroom is to be as non-biased as humanly possible,
right,
knowing that we have bias to begin with, right? This reminds me of every time in the last 20 years that there's been a two-term Democratic governor, that there's been, not apathy, but more of we've had enough of the last 8 years, whether it was Schaefer and Glendening in 94, Glendening his 8 years and what happened in 2002 with Ehrlich and KKT. And then, this election cycle is sort of like 8 years of Martin O'Malley. This isn't about Anthony Brown at all. This is about turnout on whether the state of Maryland wants another 4 years of supposedly Martin O'Malley. Right. So I think Brown's turnout issue is with the Democrat Party. The Republicans, from what I'm hearing, they're going to come out and vote. Right. So the margin of PG, Montgomery, Baltimore City is going to be even more important in this cycle than since 1994, probably.
That's a good point, but I think it also indicates Hogan's grand strategic advantage in this race. He gets to blame everything from the O'Malley administration on Brown, and then he gets to blame all the harm that occurred in the Great Recession on the O'Malley administration.
Right,
and that's a big burden for Brown to carry.
I mean, and one of the things it is going to be about turnout. One of the things I heard on the way in this morning, and folks, really join us here. I want to know what you think about this race. Are you voting? Are you not voting? And why? Do you care about this race? And what are your thoughts about either Lieutenant Governor Brown or Mr. Hogan? 410-319-8888 or any other races. The ones here locally, there's a lot of hot stuff in Baltimore at the moment. 410-319-8888, your thoughts and ideas. We want to hear you. But I heard this morning when they were talking about the early voting that it's down like 2 or 3% in most polls, except for two counties right now on the Eastern Shore, which are most likely Republican counties, where there was a much larger turnout in this early voting. If that's an indicator, then Brown could be in trouble unless he can motivate Baltimore City, Montgomery County, and Prince George's County voters and their allies in the counties to come out and vote. Otherwise, he could be. Yeah. Some people are arguing he could be in trouble. But then, you know, people said that the O'Malley Ehrlich race was going to be very close last time.
Right.
Until the bitter end, they were saying it was going to be close.
Yeah, but, I mean, for those of us who pay attention to this, I mean, I never thought O'Malley Brown in 2010 was close. Never got that feeling. It's almost like a gut call where you're you know, going around to Reynoldstown, Laukern, Woodlawn, and Baltimore County, and you're just not seeing the energy for Anthony Brown. You're just not seeing those folks who are really interested in Anthony Brown being governor. I don't know what the reason is, but it's almost like, well, if he is, fine. If he isn't, fine.
I think there's a lot of unanswered questions. I don't mean to interrupt, but I do hear that too, and I hear it in the city as well. And I think through the debates that we've heard and seen and everything that we've read, the issues themselves have not been totally addressed with solutions, and there hasn't been a great explanation of what's gone on and where the money's been. I'm talking about the health exchange.
Right. I mean, well, let's get to health exchange in a moment. Let me go to the phones here. 410-319-8888 and Marion in Randallstown. Welcome.
Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Marion.
Yeah, listen, I hate to come in right after your panelist said that there hasn't been a lot of interest. I live in Randallstown, and I participated in early voting, and I can just tell you what I observed. On the first day of early voting, I went over to talk to people. First of all, there was a line out there almost or all the way around toward Liberty Road toward the Home Depot.
That's
it went all the way around the gymnasium, okay? Everybody out here that's running in this district, which is Adrian Jones' district, is pretty much unopposed. So all the interest is really with the gubernatorial race. I didn't ask anybody who they voted for, but I'm pretty certain most of these black middle-class people voted for Anthony Brown. I early voted on Friday. When I went there, this was the second day, business was booming. People were in and out of there. It wasn't slow. There was lots and lots of people coming in. I will tell you that, and I have no problem telling you, I voted for Anthony Brown and Ken Ullman. I voted for them because you look at Larry Hogan and you look at his running mate. I look at the whole ticket. And I'm very impressed that Anthony Brown really chose somebody to be his running mate who is actually more qualified to be the governor than he is. So if Anthony Brown gets hit by a bus...
Wow. That's saying a lot for Anthony Brown.
Right. If Anthony Brown gets hit by a bus, Ken Ullman has got it. If Larry Hogan gets hit
watch
by
it, Mary,
a bus...
Watch it, Mary.
Can the Republicans use that in the last week of the campaign?
Well, if Larry Hogan can't perform his duties as governor, there's Boyd Rutherford, who I don't know who he is. I don't know what he did. I don't know anything about him. But to me, I'm kind of wary of that. But I do believe that Anthony Brown is going to win this race, and it's not really going to be that close. So that's my comment.
Well, thank you so much, Marion. Yeah. I appreciate that. I think that that's part of the key to this race, as you said, is voter turnout. I think sometimes the politics are almost the issues become secondary, unfortunately, to the politics of the campaign.
Right.
And if the black middle class vote comes out, whether it's, and if Montgomery County comes out, then Brown wins. I mean, that's because the votes live there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's as you look at the last election, the majority of Baltimore County is always up for grabs because there's a lot of conservative system in Baltimore County. But Howard County, Baltimore City, Montgomery County, Prince George's County became the corridor of Democratic Party power in Maryland, the Democratic votes in Maryland. That's where it is. If those counties don't come out in great numbers, then just the pure politics of it without the issues, that's where the election
is. Well, even if Prince George's and Montgomery County comes out, which happened in 2002 when Ehrlich won, the fact that Ehrlich won 65-70% in Baltimore County made up for those numbers when you're talking statewide.
It depends on how deep the numbers come out. Because also the similarity here to me is that I think in many ways – Kathleen Kennedy Townsend was a kind of a lackluster candidate, did not kind of generate enthusiasm among a lot of people. And I think that was part of her problem. And And because she tried to go right as opposed to being herself and pushing her candidacy, she went right to pick a lieutenant governor candidate member who's retired admiral and a Republican who to bring him in.
Right. Mm-hmm. And another reason, remember Michael Steele was the lieutenant governor for Ehrlich. And I think that probably had an effect on the African-American vote, which it appears will also be critical in this election. If the electorate is about 25% African-American, if they turn out in high numbers, as they did for Obama, for example, then Brown is in good shape.
Well, and the other thing about KKT, too, is that not only, I mean, the thing with Larson, who was the admiral, but the fact that she overlooked just about every other African-American legislator in the state to pick a former admiral who was a white Republican kind of ticked off
that became an issue. That became an issue for a lot of people. I remember, 410-319-8888. How do you think you're going to vote if you want to talk about that and why? Where do you think this election is going to go? We'll talk about some interesting comments I heard on the comptroller's race, which I've just listened aside, really, but heard about those other races coming up here, what this next legislature might mean. 410-319-8888. Jerry, you're on the air.
Yes, sir. Good morning.
Good morning, Jerry.
Yes, Mark. Well, I just come from early voting off of Cold Spring Langdale handicap over that way. And the thing about it, I'm a Afghanistan veteran. And the thing is, the question I have to ask is, for one, the taxes in Maryland, it's just outrageous. And for one, because a lot of veterans are thinking about leaving the state, moving out west, going to Texas. And I was wondering, like I said, his track record being a military man, which I am, I'm going to give him a shot. I'm going to give him 4 years. I'm going to go ahead and vote for him. I'm going to give him a shot. But he doesn't show any improvement toward the veterans and the taxes, then I might even have to change my party affiliation.
All right. Well, let's talk a bit about that. How deep do we think the issue of taxes go?
Oh, I think it's probably the number one issue in this campaign. And I don't think either candidate has addressed the issue with enough specificity so that the voters could actually make a clear decision. Anthony Brown says he's going to cut taxes by $1.5 billion, but he hasn't said exactly where that money's going to come from, and he certainly hasn't explained how he can cut taxes like that and have universal pre-K, which is he's also asking for.
Mm-hmm.
On Larry Hogan's side, it's just as vague and contradictory. One thing I thought was kind of interesting, he says that the O'Malley administration has added $9.5 billion to taxes, but he's only going to cut $1.75, which means he thinks that the vast bulk of the increase is necessary and desirable. At least that's what I take away from his campaign.
I would like to ask my question if he comes back on the show.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see how he answers it.
And I think that interesting, you went on the website
right.
and
mm-hmm.
pulled out all the taxes you're talking about.
Yeah.
And a really interesting mix of taxes. And a lot of them, you said, are about taxing the wealthiest segment of the community, tobacco and alcohol. But there are also things like birth certificate fees
and fees
going across Chesapeake Bay Bridge.
Vanity license plate fees. Mm-hmm. They're going to double. It really hurts me.
Really hurts me.
You don't have vanity tax, man?
But you want them.
Just can't afford them.
That's right. Yeah. They're out of my reach.
You have vanity tax?
Are you going to be vain enough to pay the higher taxes to get them?
410-319-8888. Your thoughts. Let's go to who's next? Let me see who's next. It's Donna. Donna in Baltimore. You're on the air.
How you doing?
Very well, Donna. Welcome.
And enjoying the show. The one thing that disturbs me the most is everybody's worried about numbers, but there doesn't seem to be any accountability on who is actually going to do what it needs to be done to represent the people. I remember when O'Malley came in for before he came in, he said, "I will not raise sales taxes." As soon as he came in, he raised sales taxes to 6%. You know, and everything he said he wasn't going to do, he did, and he did more. You know, these politicians are going to have to stick to their word because people are tired of them promising something they said they weren't going to do before the elections, and then after, if they get in, they change their mind. And also, I think the American people here in Maryland are going to have to start holding our elected officials accountable, because that's all I hear is for the numbers, and we looked at biting the nails, and I'm hearing state employees complaining, if somebody so-and-so gets in, I'm going to lose my job. And, you know, and I'm sitting here, but what are you doing to hold your elected officials accountable? Everybody's worried about numbers, but when they get in, and this is
right.
From the governor all the way down, no one does anything to really represent the people. And I wouldn't suggest to talk about that now.
Well, we can talk about that. Very quickly, in like 10 seconds, how does that affect your vote?
I'm on the line. I'm just so disgusted with both sides.
I got you.
I'm just totally disgusted.
And we have no third party, so it's hard to figure out someone else to vote. Donna, thanks so much for that call. We'll come back and wrestle with your question when we take this break. We're going to break with Abbey Road. The Beatles went number one on this day in 1969. One of the great albums of all time. Gladys Knight and the Pips, 1973. This song went to number one. Midnight Train to Georgia.
Love it.
I do too. I remember interviewing Gladys Knight and the Pips, and Gladys Knight came in and we talked, and she said, next time I come to Baltimore, I'll make you my famous fried chicken. I'm still waiting.
Gladys. I would love to come over for that.
That's the voice of Melody Simmons, independent investigative journalist, a reporter for the Baltimore Brews, been on the scene writing in journalism for the last 35 years. And Dr. Matthew Crenson is Professor Emeritus in the Department of Political Science at Johns Hopkins University and has been a guest on the show for almost all of its almost 22 years. Dr. Antonio Campbell's in the studio, Professor of Political Science at Towson University and former Chairman of the Baltimore County Republican Central Committee. Please join us here at 410-319-8888 with your thoughts. Before we go to Jared, our next caller up, let's answer Donna's questions. Which had to do with the
transparency
and people promising things in elections and never sticking to their guns.
Well, the most dangerous promise I think both of them made is no new taxes.
Oh,
they should have taken a lesson from George H.W. Bush.
Read my lips.
That's what killed them. Mm-hmm. And you just don't know what's going to happen during the next 4 years that might require an increase in taxes.
Taxes also include fees in this
state,
right, too.
Exactly.
So that's a giant mm-hmm. promise.
Tony?
Well, for me, it's do you really believe what you're saying? And so these guys, they spin a story, you know, and they expect the electorate to come around and follow them. But, you know, I think especially in this election cycle, we talk about, taxes and fees, and we've seen what government has done. That it's a pit that just keeps going and keeps adding on to it. And so to think that the state of Maryland is just going to do this 180 is ridiculous. And the fact that they expect people to believe them both is ridiculous as well. So,
and as a reporter, it's very difficult to get in and get some real questions answered and find the documentation. Things are locked up. They don't reveal them. You have to file a PIA. They drag it out 30 days, find that you put a comma in the wrong place, give us another 30 days. So it's very difficult for transparency. They say they want to be accountable, but they're not.
And I think part of the thing with taxes is, and when Jerry, the Afghan vet, called in, and others have said this too, across the board about taxes is, I think people would this is anecdotal from my conversations and some polls I've seen attest to this, though that you can argue about this, that people wouldn't mind the taxes if they saw something in return. You know what I'm saying? If your taxes meant your schools were great, if your taxes meant that you didn't have hassle with health care, if your taxes meant that your life was easier or perceived to be easier, it wouldn't be such a burden. But that's the problem. People see themselves paying taxes and aren't seeing something in return.
Well, they're not seeing it. But I think there's a case to be made that it's actually there. Maryland ranks very high on most lists in the quality of public education. Now, granted, it's uneven from one subdivision to another, but it's actually very high. We also have, as of the 2010 census, the highest median household income in the United States. And one of the best educated populations behind D.C. and Massachusetts. But I think the one thing that's really been overlooked in this election is the really distinctive character of Maryland's economy. The big industry in Maryland is government.
Federal government.
And 260,000 federal employees live in Maryland. And one of the reasons our economy is in trouble right now is because the federal government Larry Hogan's right. In 2013, we were 49th in terms. But that was the year of the federal sequester. That comes not from 8,000 firms leaving the state, which they didn't, but it comes because of a cutback in government expenditures.
But one of the arguments about that, though, to flip it on the other side, is that if it wasn't for these government jobs, state, local, federal positions, then Maryland would have been hit a lot harder in a recession that happened 6-8 years ago. Mm-hmm. And the fact that we weren't hit as hard as the rest of the country is because we had so many government jobs.
That's true for a short time. Actually, if you look at the recovery since 2008, nationwide, it's private sector jobs that have come back. It's not the government jobs have not. And that's one of the things that's putting a drag on the recovery.
And there's a lot of uncertainty also about the government jobs and the government funding. They just can't bank on it.
Right. So let me go to the phones and get some of these callers in here. 410-319-8888. Let's go to Jared first. Jared, you're on the air. Welcome.
Hello.
Hi, Jared. You're on the air. Welcome.
How are you doing?
Very well.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for calling.
I've been listening to you guys, and governing is about choices. And for every, they're tough decisions, obviously, and we all know that. And for every yes, there's going to be a no. You know, for every program you say yes, you're going to have to say no, or you're going to have to cut something to balance your budget, or you're going to have to raise taxes. It's that simple. And that's more for new programs. But, in going to some of your other callers earlier, looking at why you would vote for a candidate and you're looking at Anthony Brown, whereas I think that you have to judge these candidates by what they've associated themselves with. Like, for say Anthony Brown, the last 8 years he is associated with Martin O'Malley and the laws that they've passed. You look at do they want to help on a national scale, the federal government? The presidential elections, it's all about middle-class America, the small businessman. And just look at the state of Maryland. I mean, we've raised every new registration fee. I'm a small business owner, okay? My registration, my business registration has doubled. My business insurances has gone through the roof. Every fee, every toll in the state of Maryland has gone up. Sales tax has gone up. Our gas tax now is up to 43 cents a gallon, I believe, just for the state of Maryland. And, you start looking at these things, and these are all things that have happened within the last 8 years. And you start saying, well, where does that stop? And, where are we versus where we were 8 years ago or with Ehrlich? And here we're getting all these new monies. All these fees have doubled. You have the gaming industry that's handing and making boatloads of money, and yet we're going further in the hole every year. It doesn't equate to me. It doesn't make sense. Somebody's got to be held accountable. And where does that money go?
Jared, you raised some really important questions here. I think that's part of the heart of this election. Before I jump to Tony, because I know you had thoughts on this, I want to talk about this because you raised this issue before we went in the air, Matthew and Matt, and you have a list of those things and your analysis of what he's talking about.
Yeah. I think that there have been a lot of new taxes and tax increases in the last 8 years. A lot of them, though, I can't argue with. As a former smoker, I think increasing the tax on cigarettes is a good idea. We know from studies that have been done that when you do increase the tax on cigarettes, people don't just pay more. They stop smoking. That reduces a lot of other costs. We have healthcare costs. A lot of these taxes will fall on the wealthiest Marylanders. Some of the changes, the millionaire's tax, so-called, which increases the top rate up to 6.25%, that's supposed to raise over $300 million. I can't argue with that either. And there are a number of other taxes like that. Also, when we compare the current administration with the Ehrlich administration, if you look at the percentage of the state's gross domestic product that goes to state taxes, it's actually a little lower now than it was at the end of the Ehrlich administration.
Tony.
Yeah, but real dollars has gone up. real dollars as far as taxation has increased exponentially in the last 8 years. So the message of what Larry Hogan's been talking about for the last 2 years is quite simple. Do you want more of the same, or do you want to have a different governor that's going to do something a little bit different? Now, Brown's issue is that he's trying to have both. He's trying to say that Larry Hogan is going to be it's not going to do anything drastically as far as the revenue is concerned. In fact, he's going to be he's not really talking about changing the tax rate and doing these other things. They're both talking that warm fuzzy. We're going to do it. We might do it. We might lower taxes. We might not. We're not going to cut funding as far as, you know, women's reproduction rights or K-12 education or higher ed. They're both saying the same stuff. So he's trying to paint that picture as far as a kind of liberally fiscal person. But on the flip side, he's trying to paint Larry Hogan as a social conservative, and doing it both at the same time, and doing it when people don't really believe in Anthony Brown and his message to begin with. One of the things that studying this stuff as far as message and rhetoric, you've got to be believable in your own story before anybody's going to believe the story that you're saying about somebody else. And so I think that's probably Anthony Brown's biggest hurdle, is that people who should be in his base, that should be coming out to vote for him, don't really believe what Anthony Brown, who he is himself. And so that's kind of the conundrum there.
Well, I think you see a lot of middle-class families evaluating their life, evaluating their potential retirement, their children's education, higher education. I think it's a kind of a crossroads right now for a lot of voters, not all, but some people are going to get up and vote their party. Some people are going to get up and vote against their party just because they're tired of the status quo. I think we're going to see a very interesting election day. Turnout is key. I don't know about the younger voters. That's what I'm very interested in, is that younger
if they come
set,
out.
Mm-hmm. 25 and under.
And you look at where these elections have been in the past, just to turn the politics. We'll get another caller in here. We have about 5 minutes left in the segment. Let's get another caller in real fast. But, you know, O'Malley Ehrlich O'Malley, when Ehrlich won, it was very close. He won with just a little bit more than 51% of the vote. Paris Glendening's first campaign, barely a percentage point that he won by in 1994. Their second elections were different. And I think that and it's going to be, I think this could be, this indicates to me that for all these kind of reasons, and people not feeling Hogan, but having this, for whatever reason, there's all this angst around O'Malley. Mm-hmm. That it goes on to,
right.
for lots of reasons, it falls on Brown. It doesn't excite the public in coming out because he hasn't set himself apart from O'Malley in any way.
And
so
he
hasn't
connected well. I don't think Brown has really connected with voters. That's what I'm seeing and hearing out there, too.
So let me get a quick caller in here, 410-319-8888. Melvin, you're on the air. Welcome.
Yes. Hello?
You're on the air, Melvin.
Yes. I just want to say that I'm really apathetic. And the reason is that I think that they're on the wrong side of the issue. I'm less concerned about pre-K than I am about 6th to 8th graders, because that's where the kids fall off. Also, they keep talking about the business community. However, nobody wants to raise the minimum wage, so that in turn creates disposable income, which people could go out and spend to stimulate the economy. So I just don't understand, you know, and I'm concerned about young people being able to go out and rent an apartment on $7 an hour. Mm-hmm. No way you can do it. So I'm just torn. I'm very apathetic, and I'm not sure whether I will vote or not.
I think, Melvin, I think you're not alone. Right. And I think that, you know, I think, Matthew, this is Melvin speaks for a lot of voters.
And he also, I think, is a reflection of what Brown has done wrong in this campaign. Instead of projecting a positive message about the kinds of issues Melvin talks about, he's attacked Larry Hogan, and many of those attacks are not accurate.
Right.
Especially on things like abortion and stuff like that. And it doesn't make him an attractive candidate.
Right. It's a slime machine.
That's exactly,
Well, and I'll just say this. Gubernatorial elections, one thing that Anthony Brown said in your interview with him, Mark, is that gubernatorial elections are close. Now, Maryland's supposed to be, and it is for the most part, about as blue as you can get. If Hogan wins this election, and I think he will win this election, that means two of the last four gubernatorial elections, a Republican would have won in this state. Now, in any other state in this country, that would be purple. In Maryland, it's still blue. So it's perception.
I think Maryland has a lot of purple because I think a lot of that blue is deeply red in the nomenclature of today's world. There's a lot of conservative Democrats, Eastern Shore, Baltimore County, right, other places, Anne Arundel County. I think that there's a lot of that here. So when people say because Democrats have this great registration that they are way up ahead, I think that doesn't always play in the state of Maryland. And it comes out in times of great emotion, like when Ehrlich was first elected. And we're seeing some of that now. We'll see. We have like 30 seconds. So.
Well, I'm wondering, might we be seeing a new shift in the voting patterns in Maryland where people are looking more at the issues than the candidate and the party?
Maybe. Final 2 seconds.
I think that Brown will probably pull it out. If the African-American vote turns out heavily, and there's a good chance it will.
We'll be coming back with this on Monday for a long time before the day before the election, and we'll be coming back to it on Wednesday and during the week as well, and probably have many of the folks here back. It's great to have both Dr. Matthew Crinson and Dr. Antonio Campbell back in the studio with us. It's been a long time. We want to get you guys back as regulars again. Great to have you both with us.
Thank you.
To join our deeply respected regulars like Melody Simmons. Thank the three of you so much for being here. We're going to take a brief break right here and come right back. When we come back, we're going to be joined by the wonderful Naomi Campbell. Remind you on the way to break, the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you by MeetCube, Baltimore's credit union, offering a full range of financial services. MeetCube, Baltimore's credit union, is helping its members and its community prosper. When you invest in yourself, MeetCube invests in you. More information, www.mecu.com. We'll be right back.